Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. Today we're going to be addressing the question, my spouse and I want to have sex with greater frequency, but there are obstacles, small children, different schedules, etc. What would you suggest?
All right. Well, I've heard this question many times in a number of different ways, so I know it's going to be broadly helpful to folks. We're not trying to pigeonhole ourselves as a sex podcast, but we do get a lot of questions
on
sex.
We
just do. And I'm trying to space them out so that it's not like we're turning into a Christian Dr. Ruth. You may be a little too young for to know what. Have you ever heard of Dr. Ruth?
I feel like I have.
It's maybe like back in the 80s, 90s, this kind of older woman that she was like a sex psychologist or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're doing. We're just trying to be helpful to the body here. Okay.
Right, right.
But here's this does remind me to put out there again that you can ask sensitive questions without putting your name on them on our website. You can ask questions anonymously now. So and they don't have to be sex questions. They can be any kind of question. You can ask them anonymously. Kyle and I won't know who you are. You can also ask follow-up questions to anything that we have done in the past. We would love to revisit some of the other questions we've already done if we didn't answer them sufficiently or if our answers to your questions raised other questions. Please ask those follow-up questions. We would love to come back around to
Absolutely.
Those things.
Yeah. Let's start by saying we need to identify all the factors making it difficult to come together regularly.
Yeah. It may be that one person in the marriage is a night owl and the other person's an early bird.
Both birds.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't call myself a night owl, but I'm also not an early bird. I'm wondering if there's like what would you call an afternoon person?
There's a bird out there for that.
It's like a afternoon gull or something.
Yeah.
That's what I would be. Go to bed at 10, get up at 7, whatever you would call that.
Right.
Anyway, you got two people in the marriage whose body clocks are not coinciding. That can cause a problem. You may have small children or children of multiple ages. And here's the thing to keep in mind about that. Some people may think regarding having small children, and I've heard this before, this idea, that we're just in a season of total exhaustion right now because of our small children. And we'll catch up on our sex life when the kids are older. Well, some problems with that idea. First of all, when the kids get older, they're going to pose other problems for your sex life, like staying up later or getting up earlier. In other words, they're going to pose a challenge to your sex life until they leave the nest. So you need to find ways to get around that now. Just think about finding a way when they're young, because you're always going to have to work around the kids, okay? Second, given that Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 7 that a major point of our giving ourselves up to serve one another sexually is to avoid sexual temptation, how much compassion do you think the devil is going to have on you during those years that your children are small? I mean, do you think the devil's going to say, you know what, I'm nothing if not a gentleman. They're exhausted. I'll give them a few years off, and then I'll hit them with sexual temptation when they're strong enough to fight again. And of course, he's not going to do that. He's going to take every advantage he can. So don't think that because the kids are small, you can just, we'll catch up later. I mean, the devil is going to have a heyday with you if you have that attitude. You may be super busy with other things, work, school, church activities, there may be sexual dysfunction of some kind. Whatever the issues are, get them all out on paper, you and your spouse, so that you know what the obstacles are and you can deal with them one by one, talk about them.
Yeah, and on the onset, just agree together that it's a priority.
Yeah, now the question was asked implies that it's already a priority. But maybe it's not a big enough priority to have overcome these obstacles and find a way to get things done. So let's talk about why it should be a priority, okay? Oneness in marriage is a picture of the gospel. We've talked about this before, but Genesis chapter 2 tells us that a man leaves his father and mother and holds fast to his wife, and the two become one flesh. We rightly believe that a one-flesh relationship entails more than just a sexual union. It's the joining of two lives in many ways, including spiritually, emotionally, and sexually. And Paul teaches in Ephesians 5 that this union is intended to be a picture of the union between Christ and the church. And it deeply concerns me that so many Christian couples are content to settle for mediocre marriages by having almost nothing to do with one another, either spiritually or emotionally or recreationally or sexually. They kind of exist together as roommates, maybe friends, but they don't exhibit a one-flesh union that images the gospel. And there are kingdom ramifications to that. When we settle for mediocre marriages, we broadcast a mediocre gospel, a mediocre picture of Christ in the church. That just can't be. We lie about Christ in the church when we do that. We should jealously guard and feed every component of our marriages, including our sexual lives, because even though no one sees that part of our relationship, that part of our relationship affects how we relate to one another and serve one another outside of the intimacy of our bedroom. It bleeds over into these other parts of our marriage, and so it affects how we image the gospel to the world outside of our bedrooms. Now, additionally, we are explicitly commanded to make this a priority in 1 Corinthians 7, as I mentioned a moment ago. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 2 and 3 reads, "Because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband." And later in the passage, we're commanded not to deprive one another. The devil's on the prowl, wants to destroy us through sexual temptation. Sexuality in marriage is a mechanism by which God keeps us pure. So this is a biblical priority. And if we would be godly people, we can't put it off. We can't make it something that's like a hobby or something, like watching movies or something that we get around to when everything else is taken care of.
Right. So we've got to make time for the relationship in general.
Yeah, and this is important. You don't want the only time that you're spending together to be sexual. As we noted a minute ago, the one flesh relationship, it's spiritual, it's relational, emotional, sexual. So make the whole relationship a priority. And this may sound harsh, but don't let the kids jeopardize that. Don't let work, church, anything else jeopardize that closeness. It seems that the scriptures put the husbands in a position of particular responsibility here. Okay? So we husbands are called in 1 Peter 3:7 to live with our wives according to knowledge. We are to pursue knowledge of our wives in every way. I'm not aware of a parallel command to wives, so it seems husbands are to take the lead here. Men, take charge in making your relationship with your wife a priority. Not just the sexual relationship, but the entire relationship. That means get time alone with your wife to cultivate intimacy in every area, not just sexually, but every area. Now, some people have such child-centered homes that what their children want or need is of supreme importance 24/7. And I would just say, don't let your children interrupt a conversation that you're having with your spouse. I mean, emergencies are one thing. Tend to your children in emergencies, but whining is another thing. And we ought not teach our children that they're the most important thing in the universe by letting them interrupt our conversations with our spouses. A great habit that I encourage people to make is to develop time every day to sit down face to face with your spouse to talk about the day. Hmm. And I would suggest making it to where the kids are not allowed to interrupt that time. So spend time talking about spiritual things, praying, etc. Spend time doing things other than having sex. All of that is going to make sex that much more intimate and enjoyable. It'll also improve the gospel image of your marriage. So think about cultivating your relationship in general and not just finding time to have sex. I know that that's the having sex is the purpose of this question. That's what they're asking, but don't neglect everything else, because everything else is going to contribute to that as well.
I wonder if some people are thinking, I've been tempted to think this, like if you're really in love with your spouse, these things should just happen on the fly, as if like you don't need to cultivate a relationship. I think the only thing we don't have to work on is loving ourselves and loving our own preferences, because that's easy for us.
Oh, absolutely. I've never had to set aside time to love me.
Oh,
I'm really good at that. I always make time for that.
Right.
People who think that, if you really love your spouse, these things just happen. They either aren't married yet, or they don't have kids,
right?
Or they don't work, or they don't have lives. I think.
Yeah, it's a wrong view of what it means to be in love too. I mean, the world. I think so many divorces are contributed to the fact that they think this in love thing is like a driving force outside of us that just keeps everything perfect the whole marriage. You have to fight for intimacy.
Yes, you do. Absolutely.
And enjoy your spouse.
Yeah, you do. And you made a good point just now that we are inherently self-centered. So we can go back to those three enemies that are constantly working against us: the devil, the world, and our own flesh. All three of those enemies are working against our marriages all the time. And this fairy tale love that people think, oh, this is just going to drive us together all the time, it's not strong enough to overcome the devil and the world and our own flesh. Those three enemies will eat love for lunch, this romantic love that everybody thinks will just make the world right. It's not going to work.
Right. So when it comes to overcoming obstacles, we need to think outside the box.
Yeah. Now, we kind of almost touched on this just now. Hollywood is not your friend when it comes to this kind of stuff. So everything that Hollywood has told you about the sexual relationship and romantic love, get rid of every bit of it, including ideas like, if sex isn't spontaneous and mutually passionate, it doesn't count. Get rid of all of that stuff and just believe the Bible, okay? And I would say that if you want to overcome obstacles, thinking outside of the box is going to require something as practical as scheduling time to have sex. We make time for the things that are a priority to us. If we aren't having sex, it's because it's not a priority. If it's not a priority, we don't understand how important it is. And we've talked before on this podcast about the fact that in a typical marriage, you're likely going to have one person who has a stronger sex drive than the other. And we've talked about the fact that it's typically the case that you both aren't longing to have sex at the same time. So if that's the case, it's the spontaneity thing is not going to happen. It's not going to happen all the time. So if you're going to make a priority of it, then scheduling it is going to be a necessity.
Right. Let's go back to, what about those couples where one person is a night owl and the other is an early bird?
Okay. In most marriages, like I just said, you got one person whose sex drive is stronger than the other person's. It may be easiest for the person who has the stronger sex drive to accommodate the clock of the other person. Okay. So find a time when the person with the weaker drive is at their best energy-wise and do it then. So it doesn't have to be at night, doesn't have to be early in the morning, just make it work. So if the night owl is the person with the weaker drive, then the early bird needs maybe to try to accommodate them and stay up later, or vice versa. Just try to accommodate the person with the weaker drive, because the person with the weaker drive is really having to give more in order to make the sexual union happen, okay? The person with the stronger drive just kind of needs to show up, you know what I mean?
Right.
So accommodate the person with the weaker drive, accommodate their clock. So if that person is a morning person and the person with the stronger drive is the night owl just get up early. Make it work. Think outside the box.
Right. And what about those who have little kids?
Now, this is a challenge. make the most of nap time, play time, TV time, whatever. And this is one reason why I'm an advocate of putting your kids on some kind of schedule. If you let your small children's demands run your schedule, it will be detrimental to your marriage. If your kids don't have a bedtime, if they just stay up until they get tired, it will be detrimental to your marriage. So get them into a routine to where they go to bed at the same time every night, and they are not allowed to come out of their room. Get them into a routine where they get up at the same time every day. Feed them breakfast at the same time every day. And maybe, like really small children, you put a video in for them after breakfast or whatever. Then you can use that video time to catch up with your spouse. Make them take naps at the same time every day. Even if they're of the age when they no longer take naps, you can require them to go to their room and read for half an hour or so. Then use that time for you and your spouse. You can do that same kind of thing in the evening. Just get them into a schedule where they just know, their little bodies understand, without you even having to say anything, now it's time for this, now it's time for this. Our kids, we got them on such a schedule that our son Jackson, it was his birthday. I think he was like 3 years old. He was so regimented on his bedtime that his third birthday party, it was about his bedtime. He started handing his grandparents their coats so that they could leave because he needed to go to bed. Man. So it's not just that he loved to go to bed. It's just his body clock got settled on that. Now, that was important for our marriage because Shelby and I knew at 8 or 8:30 every night, we were going to be able to look each other in the face and talk or whatever. You know, we weren't going to have kids up until 11 or 12. If your kids are older, the age where they may be awake after you are at night, then get a sign to put on your bedroom door and tell the kids that when that sign's on the door, you and your spouse do not want to be interrupted. And anytime the sign is not on the door, they're welcome to knock on the door. But when the sign is on the door, there will be consequences for interrupting unless there's a life and death emergency. So use that sign when you want to talk uninterrupted, when you want to take a nap, when you want to shower, when you want to do anything without being interrupted, and condition them to see that sign and turn around and walk the other way. And then you can use it when you want to have sex and you won't be interrupted. You're going to have to come up with something like these things because once those kids are born, they're going to be in the house until they leave the house 18 or so years later. And if you're going to have sex, you're going to have to find a way to do it with them in the house. There are obstacles when they're young. There are obstacles when they get older. You've got to figure out a way around it.
Right. So lastly, communicate, communicate, communicate.
Yeah, don't leave this scheduling stuff to take care of itself. Don't expect your spouse to just know when you want to do it. Talk about everything. This may sound weird, but I would say when you have just finished doing it, talk about when you're going to do it again. You might even come up with a regular schedule. I mean, people do this with family worship. Some people say, well, we do family worship on these nights of the week, every week. Why not do that with sexual relations? Why not say, we're going to have sex on these days of the week or this often? Or on this day of the week, we'll do it in the morning. On this day, it works best to do it on your lunch break. On this day, it works best to do it after the kids go to bed. And we'll do it after church on Sundays while the kids are taking a nap. Maybe you know that your spouse is about to go out of town. You can plan to do it multiple times in the days right before so that neither of you are tempted while you're separated. If you do set this regular schedule, things are going to come up that upset the schedule on occasion. So talk about it. So you could say something like, well, you know, we usually do it on Tuesday mornings, but you've got that early meeting. Can we do it later that day or Monday night? All this may sound terribly unromantic, but I've got a couple of things to say to that. First of all, where is the command to make a Hollywood love scene out of this? There isn't one. And second, how romantic do you feel right now doing it rarely or not at all? I mean, spontaneity doesn't have to be the key ingredient to making this special. The intimacy that you share in every other relation, every other area of your relationship, is what makes it special. And so if you're having FaceTime, having conversations, if you're praying together, if you're bearing one another's burdens, then having sex at scheduled times is going to be fantastic. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be spontaneous to be romantic. If you're cultivating a relationship in all of these other areas at other times, then scheduling sex is not going to be unromantic. So I would just say, talk about it, talk about it, talk about it. If you don't, you will not do it.
Amen. Well, till next time.
All right.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.